Clara Tomlin has distinguished herself in the field of literary biography by her celebrated biographies of such figures as Mary Wollstonecraft and Samuel Pepys. She's just written a biography of the 19th century novelist and poet Thomas Hardy. Our book critic Maureen Corrigan says that if your part of the country is blanketed in the gray gloom of January, this is a fitting book to curl up with.
Early in Jude the Obscure, Thomas Hardy's hollow-voiced novel about fate and the futility of self-improvement, his young hero, Jude Fawley, plunges into despair while trying to teach himself Latin and Greek. We readers are told that Jude wished he had never seen a book, that he might never see another, that he had never been born. Granted, Jude is not just a fictional double for Hardy, but after reading Claire Tomlin's disturbing new biography, you can't help but wonder if there weren't many times in his long life when Hardy himself wished he had never been lured away by books from the toiling classes into which he'd been born. The son of a village builder and a servant girl who came to be feted by the aristocracy for creating such charged characters as Jude and Tess of the D'Urbervilles, Hardy seemed psychologically isolated by his astounding class climb. But then by nature, he was always a gloomy Gus. As Tomlin shockingly recalls, when the 10-year-old son of a fellow writer died, Hardy wrote these words to him in a sympathy note. "To be candid, I think the death of a child is never really to be regretted when one reflects on what he has escaped." Tomlin's engaging and enlightening biography called Thomas Hardy, The Time-Torn Man, might well give Hardy some contentment if he could look down and regard it from the heights of a heaven in which he didn't believe. An astute reader of even more sluggish novels like Under the Greenwood Tree and Two on a Tower, Tomlin dramatizes Hardy's accidentally crucial role in the history of English literature. How, out of his acute sense of solitude and self-division, he created great bleak novels and poems that gave voice to a certain no-exit despair of the modern age. Tomlin doesn't overreach here. She acknowledges that the pressure to puff out his novels for serialization marred Hardy's work, and that in terms of theme, he was essentially a Johnny One-Note. But it was a note that he hit time and again with shattering intensity. Hardy's impoverished characters strive and yearn, while some indifferent force in the universe, call it fate or luck or the ruthlessness of the late Victorian English class system, grinds them down into dust. As Tomlin points out, the irony here is that the plot of Hardy's own life followed an upward, if bumpy, trajectory. Born in 1840, he had the luck of being a sickly child, and so recognizing that he wasn't suited for manual work, his parents scraped up the money for some extra schooling for him. At age 16, Hardy was apprenticed to an architect, becoming the first in his family to try to enter the professional world. And then, bravely, inexplicably, a few years later, Hardy leapt into the unknown. He moved alone to London in 1862. He'd only been there once before as a child, and set out to try to break into magazine writing. Nothing came easy. Hardy had to pay for the publication of his first novel, The Poor Man and the Lady. He courted his first wife, Emma, long distance for years, and the two married in defiance of her middle-class parents' objections. And even when he did make it as a novelist, his work always drew fire. When Far From the Madding Crowd was published in 1874, Henry James wrote a patronizing review for The Nation in which he declared that "everything human in the book strikes us as insubstantial. The only things we believe in are the sheep and the dogs." Purebred literary figures like James never let Hardy forget that, in their eyes, he was a mutt. As she's done in some of her other superb literary biographies, like those of Jane Austen and Samuel Pepys, Tomlin opens this biography of Hardy with a vivid scene that establishes the signature mood of her subject's life. Tomlin describes how, when Emma died, Hardy had her body placed in a coffin at the foot of his bed, where it remained for 3 days and nights. They'd been married almost 40 years, many of them bitter. For years, Emma slept alone in the attic. Hardy was in love with another woman. Yet Tomlin declares Emma's death not only released emotions in Hardy that transformed him from a good into a great poet, but also posthumously rekindled his love for her. Like so many of his fictional characters, Hardy lived his life yearning most intensely for that which was always out of reach. Fortunately for us readers, his biographer Tomlin has Hardy firmly in her grasp.
Maureen Corrigan teaches literature at Georgetown University and is the author of the memoir, Leave Me Alone, I'm Reading, which has been published in paperback.